Well, praise the Lord. I say I didn't even need to gather you back. Pastor has you well trained. Praise the Lord. I'm honored to be in the house of the Lord today. And to be with you is always a special treat. Please receive the greetings from my family in Italy. I spoke with some of my relatives, my mother, one of my brothers, and they always remember you with fond memories. And they asked for your prayers, and I told them that I would pass along the request, and likewise I told them to keep us in prayer, because that is how we sustain each other. In the love of the Lord, we know that there are others who are praying for us, and they know that we are praying for them, and there is a wonderful understanding, in especially in a relationship where we each do our part. And we know that above all, it is the Lord who sustains us, and we are being faithful to him and showing love towards each other, as well as we do seek to serve and love the Lord first. So today, I would like us to turn to Acts chapter 2, and we'll read the first four verses in that chapter. It is, after all, Pentecost Sunday today. I don't know how many of you have paid attention to the, let's say, to the religious calendar, but that is what today is. Today is Pentecost Day. Reading from chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house while they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. On this day, after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, 10 days after that, on this day the disciples were gathered in a house in Jerusalem, and they were visited with signs and wonders we just read from heaven. The Holy Spirit came down on all of those 120 and gave them an opportunity to find their life transformed, to see themselves transformed. The Lord, with the Holy Spirit, was giving them new life in their veins. And through their veins, this new life was pulsating with power that brought forth blessings, blessings of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Blessings that began on this day, also a day which we can call the birthday of the church. These blessings are not to be thought as just nice things or a great event that happened to some people 2,000 years ago, or somewhat in the vicinity. Such blessings are the ones that many have experienced since, and on all continents, I tell you, these blessings of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are blessings that you can still experience today. If you will, allow God to control your life. Allow him to get the control over your life. I don't mean just here and there. I mean not sometimes, but allow him to be there over your thoughts, over your next actions at all times. Are you trying to have your way with life events? Are you looking for a fight, for an argument with someone, so that you may be the so-called the winner of the argument? Are you allowing God to be God and lead you into his green pastures? Or are you still convinced that the neighbor's grass is the greener grass? Are you making plans for the future without talking to God? These are questions that I pose to myself, and I turn over to you, and speaking to both you and myself, I have a piece of advice for all of us, if I may. Do not get in the way of God, and do not run away from him. What we think are the best plan is the best plan for our life, for the best plan of action, may not be the best that God intends for us. And so we must seek his face. Maybe you have had your way so far, but is that the best that God has in for you? In Psalm 23, I will turn for a moment and read there. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is God's plan for you. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." That is God's plan for you. "He leads me beside the still waters." That is God's plan for you. "He restores my soul." That is God's plan for you. "He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." That is God's plan for you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That is God's plan for you. "For you are with me." That is his plan to be with you. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is God's plan for you. Not to leave you on your own, but to be there. To be there and to lead you. Only listen. Only allow him to speak to you. "He is the one who prepares a table for me," says the psalmist. "He is the one who anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over." This is God's plan for you. Full life. Full life, life more abundantly. But there is a stipulation there. Dwell in the Lord. If you dwell in the Lord, in his house, in his presence, open that scripture like we heard before, from we watched that video, we heard that brother. Those are true words dear. Words that are spoken with love. Let us find now God's path, huh? God's plan in this Pentecost, and let us understand what is Pentecost to start. Where did it come from? I often wondered, what is Pentecost as I was growing up? I heard this word in the church, and it sounded so Italian. It said, Pentecoste, what is it? And I tell you, it's so great that you will find out even today, Why is Pentecost important to you today? Why is it so important that you need to receive this God's Holy Spirit, this Pentecost? What is Pentecost? It comes from the Greek Pentecoste, and I thought it was an Italian word. The wonderful thing about dictionaries. It means 50th. It means 50th. From Leviticus chapter 23, you can read there in verse 16, where the Hebrew word ha mesim yom, 50 days, refers to the number of days from the offering of the barley sheaf on the Sunday after Passover. So the Sunday after Passover, a day like today, on a day which we call Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate the Christ Jesus' resurrection, the priests would wave or thrash these sheaves of barley back and forth to the Lord and to the people to see. They will do this on this Sunday, and this will be the 50th day. Hence, we call it the Feast of Pentecost. Because the time from Passover to the day of today, like today, was 7 weeks exact. This name of Pentecost is not only the name for this day, but we also can call it the Feast of Weeks. The Hebrews, they will call it that way quite often. Today, they call it Shavuot. I interest myself so much in the culture that the Israelis have today, because I see that so much of it still reflects much of what is in the Old Testament. And I pray that we can show to everyone in this world, Jew and non-Jew, Israeli or non-Israeli, Italian or American, that there is tremendous truth in this Bible, in the Word of God, and that there is absolutely a path in this Pentecost for everyone who will hear. This day marks the harvest completion, of which barley will be one of the first fruit of the harvest, of this harvest in the Holy Land. You will plant the barley, you can plant it two times during the year, once in the fall if you want a very early winter harvest, and then you can plant it again in the winter for the harvest, like such as now. And that is what the Israelis did during that time. They will plant the barley in the winter, and they will be able to harvest it beginning with the time of Passover. My family used to plant wheat, and actually, be honest with you, this is actual wheat, it's not barley. A little vestige left from much industry that my family back in Sicily was involved with, and I cherish it very much, like a little treasure. And you can see the beauty of what is that God has created, and that there is great importance in the form that God has given to things. From Leviticus chapter 23, we understand that the celebration of this feast really began on the day after the Passover, on the Passover Sabbath, excuse me. Again, on the Resurrection Sunday, with the waving of the sheaf, and it ended 50 days later. So today really will be the end, the end of this harvest festival. And it ended not any longer with the waving of sheaves, but rather with the waving of two loaves of bread that were made with the finest flour that they had picked during that harvest. These breads, they were not like the regular breads that were used for Passover. They were unlike the other breads that were used for other offerings. These breads were breads for thank offering. This flour was, like all the other flours used, were from the best sheaves of the wheat that was grown, from the best grain, and that will be crushed, and before they will be crushed again, they will be waved, and after they will be waved unto the Lord as an offering unto him already, they will be separated from the chaff, and then they will be crushed, and the flour that will be deriving from this crushing, they will be sifted through 12 sieves. Meaning there that this has to be the best, the finest that you could get. No imperfection they were striving for. Yet, according to the Lord's command, this bread, this flour, was supposed to be leavened. And I'll tell you in a moment, you hold that in your thoughts. There will be, along with the two breads, there will be animal sacrifices. And these offerings were made for burnt offering, for thank offering, for peace offerings, and for sin offerings. Notice, these breads, for thanksgiving, for thank offering unto the Lord, are the only offering that were allowed to have leaven on the temple grounds. No other leaven was ever allowed on temple grounds. Why? Why would we say, do we have to have this leaven? It was the Lord's command. This leaven was allowed by God to remind that even the best and the most holy offering from us is still imperfect, because we are limited created beings, and sin affects all that we do. The feast was proclaimed as a holy gathering, and no work during that day should be done. And every male from the nation should be going to the sanctuary. In Leviticus 23, you can read a little more about this, and I will give you permission when you go home today. Read that in Leviticus 23, okay? To celebrate this day of joy, that's what they were supposed to do. Go unto the house of the Lord, gather together, and celebrate. Celebrate this day of joy. But joy for what? I mean, there's going to be, you have to give something of yours, perhaps something that was very costly and dear, huh? Lambs, bullocks, what kind of, or even just as thank offerings, or meal offerings, you will be bringing produce from the garden. So joy for what? It was joys. The joys that was supposed to be celebrated was the gratitude in the joy of God's provision of food, and the deliverance from the oppression of a tyrant in the life before. Of course, I'm making a reference here to Pharaoh. When Israel was in Egypt, and God delivered them on the day of Passover, things changed. And now you move on, you fast forward the 50 days later. What happens? They are they are at the foot of Mount Sinai, and here they are supposed to be waiting on the Lord, waiting on God to do his work. You see, on that day, many remember that God gave them the law, and he did. But that wasn't the only thing that he did, because Pentecost is the 50th day of remembrance. Because God released the people from bondage. God releases people from bondage. And God allows these very same people that he releases from bondage to enter into a covenant alliance, into a relationship with him. This is the beauty of what is of God's work. It's not just about him, but it's also about you. It's also about us. On this day, God delivered Israel. He celebrated the deliverance of God from Israel from the oppression at Passover. And now 50 days later, you see, they have to realize, and we must realize that God sustained them and God sustains us for all that comes afterwards. This is what Pentecost represents. On that day, Sinai, Mount Sinai, shook. Lightning bolts, the ground around trembled. And it is understood that the mountain's plants might even have bloomed on that day, that the Lord visited that mountain and God gave the word. And people on that day feared God for that. But you know, as generations passed, the true spirit of Pentecost was also kind of passed by, was put aside. And it became a sort of a memorial day of when God gave them his word, the Torah, also known as the law at Sinai. And many colorful decorations went up. They still go up today. Many colorful decorations during this day of remembrance are put up, remembering events from the past, but not realizing the significance of this day for the future. You see, rituals are only mind deep. They're only mind deep. They always leave that question mark. But it is God instead. We must remember that God is the one who discerns the heart. And he gave his word because if you read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you read there why he gave his word and why does God does what he does. For the word of God is living and powerful. This is why God gave his word. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. God himself, he has poured himself of his very own nature into this word. And this word is there as a reminder to us that God knows us right to the depth of our heart. But why would he give such a book? Why would he give the law? Why would he speak to people? Why would he reveal himself? For one and only one reason. Because he desires that none who believe in him shall perish, but have everlasting life. You know, after World War II, there were the relief workers from all over the nations, many here from the United States, who were helping people in Europe. And they were having difficulties, a difficult time to help these orphans in these refugee camps. These orphans had been starved. They had been exposed to tremendous cruelty. And for so long, they had been terrified of being deprived again. And at night, they had these nightmares. So they did not want to be going to sleep because they had this fear. And they had fear until one day, one of the workers handed one of these children a piece of bread. And within seconds, that child fell asleep. And then he moved on to the next child with the same piece of bread. And the next child fell asleep within seconds. And then he moved on and on and on and on. The reason why they were showing these breads on the day of Pentecost, the reason why they will bring this, the reason why is because they needed We need their assurance. And Jesus, he is there to give us assurance that he will be there. He is the one who makes the provision for us. Have your faith in him. Trust in him. When Christ said, I am the bread of life, if you read in John chapter 6, you will see there that he intended for all of us to understand that he is the giver of new life. He is the provider. He is the one who will be there. And let us not starve our soul. Do not starve your soul. Go to Jesus for your provisions for life. Why is it important then to you today that you need to receive God's Holy Spirit this Pentecost? When Luke wrote Acts chapter 2, some say, well, he invented this. He took a little bit of the experiences that others had during the Old Testament, and so he added, he embellished it, he made it look real nice. But you know, I tell you, they did not fabricate a story here, because historians have gone over the details. Psychiatrists have gone over the details. Doctors of various nations have gone over the facts, and it is just not possible that 120 people in the upper room will be hallucinating or so drunk that they will go out of that room and convince on the same day 3,000 other people to follow Jesus Christ unto the ends of the earth. No way, no how. They impacted within a few years the entire Roman Empire. There were churches built, there were churches that were springing out on every major city and villages because of what had happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's fabricate a story where 3,120 people, now they're going to go and follow a Messiah who just left 10 days earlier. Hey, by the way, you knew 3,000? This Messiah is not here already. He's already gone into heaven. So follow him. You see, man's nature is to doubt. But God's nature is to speak the truth and to make it happen. Praise the Lord. The supernatural was involved. The supernatural is involved on the day of Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit is the single factor here that makes it possible for tongues of fire, for wind to blow in a room, and for 120 people to speak in languages to them unknown, and for visitors from all over the empire to be there and to hear and understand them. That is what is happening there. And then, just in a few years, believe it or not, Christianity all over the empire, to the point where the Romans were baffled. What is this? Oh, well, let's let it happen. I tell you, the supernatural was involved then, the supernatural is involved now, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. They gained converts because of the day of Pentecost, not by the sword and not by telling them, if you do this or you do that, you'll get into heaven. That is not the way you'll get into heaven. Absolutely not. It is not by forcibly converting you, and it is not by thinking that you can twist God's arm and he'll let you into heaven. No. They did gain converts, and people came to the Lord by unashamedly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. That is how Christianity grew. That is how Christianity grows. And that is how, I tell you, the kingdom of God advances, by unashamedly preaching the gospel. And we in the Assemblies of God, we have made it our motto, all of the gospel, all the gospel and none other. No less, no more, but all the gospel. By faith in the righteousness of God, there is salvation. By faith, if you place your faith in the Lord, in Him, your soul, by faith, shall be forgiven and you shall live. That is the promise of the Lord. Let God fill you with the Holy Spirit for full life. Let God advance you in life through His way. Pentecost marks the completion of Jesus' ministry on earth and the completion of Jesus' ministry for you. Now, He said to them, I promise I will send the Spirit, and as John the Baptist prophesied, the Messiah will baptize not in water only, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You read that in chapter 3 of Matthew. How John the Baptist prophesied that this will happen after Jesus becoming the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Allow God to work through you. Allow God to take control over your mind. Allow God to be, like we saw in that video, your main focus. There was a Bible teacher, his last name was Glasser. He wrote, the day of Pentecost in chapter 2 of Acts marks the shifting of God's redemptive purpose from a particular people, the seed of Abraham, to all people. It did not exclude them now, but not only them, but the message is for everyone. On that day, the church was formed and empowered for what? For worldwide mission, for spreading the gospel of Christ. This means God through Jesus saves both the Jew and the non-Jew. He will call many from many nations, from all nations, actually. And reading from Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it is then. If you've been wondering when will the end of the world come, if there are our friends who have been wondering, tell them. The Bible says it. Go right to Matthew 24, verse 14. The end of this age will come when this gospel will have reached the ends of the earth. And every day there are people, new people and new tribes who come to Christ that they hear for the first time every day. And I tell you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Welcome God's Holy Spirit into your life. While speaking to King Agrippa and the Roman Festus, Paul told them, King, he turns to the king and says in Acts 26, verse 26, let's read that. 26, verse 26. King, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King, he says to him, and Officer Festus, these things of which I speak, this gospel of Jesus Christ, this church that is growing, these events that have happened, the people that spoke in tongues in Jerusalem, and the 3,000 that followed them on that day, and the many more that followed after that, was not done covertly. It was not a subtle operation, but was in front of everybody, right in the light of day. And King Agrippa agreed with him. And King Agrippa agreed with him. Do not waste any time. Today, believe God's Holy Spirit is for you. Do not scoff or doubt like those who spoke to Peter and to whom Peter responded. He told them, listen, If you don't see the miracles that God does, it is because you don't know or understand the Holy Spirit. You don't know or understand the resurrected Jesus Christ. You don't know or understand that He is Lord, Peter is telling them. And if you read in this chapter, continuing in chapter 2, you see how Peter quotes to them the prophet Joel in chapter 2. And he tells them, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservant and on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in heaven and in earth and in the earth. Believe that God works through His mysterious ways." We describe that as in the supernatural. Believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and believe that this Jesus is Lord. And so if you do believe, give Him the throne of your heart. Do not allow for time to escape. Do not run away from Him. Do not stand in the way of Him, but walk with Him. Walk with Him. These verses that we just read pointed out that this event marks the age in which Messiah will bring about the day of the Lord. Because that is what we read from Joel, that these things are going to happen. And then the day of the Lord will come, a day of reckoning. Let us allow God to do His work, and let us be there doing the work with the Lord. We all know how hard it is to predict the future. Yet upon hearing that King David in Psalm number 16 predicted Jesus' resurrection, the 3,000 that were listening to Peter said to Peter, "What shall we do now? What shall we do now? What shall we do to rid ourselves of our sin? What shall we do to be acceptable before God?" And he said to them, "Oh, bring more offerings. Oh, wave more wheat or barley." No, he did not. He said to them, "Repent. Turn your heart to Him. And let Him turn you around." Turn your heart to Him. He said to them, "Repent." He said in verse 38, "And enter into the promise of forgiveness." You want to be forgiven by God? You don't have to give alms. You don't have to take your shoes off and walk for miles and miles on a pilgrimage. You don't have to go try to find a particular shrine and worship there. You don't have to give everything you have to the poor. You are free to give it. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll stay on the way there waiting to get something from you. But they will not let into heaven. It is repentance. Opening the heart to God. Believing now. If you ever heard the word, now believe the word. Because that is what God said. Can it be that simple, you'll ask? Really, can it be that simple? Yes, it is. For by hearing the word, that is how you have faith. And that is how He saves you. So receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. But continuing in verse 39, he said to them in chapter 2, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." People might say, "Well, that happened so long ago." But you see here, the word of the Lord continues with the promise. And the promise is that for all those whom the Lord will call. For all those. And it is because of all this that you need to receive the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost. It is imperative that you allow God to work in your life in such a wonderful way by allowing Him to change you. Because it is that way that true life and life more abundantly will spring in your heart. Let it spring from the heart. Let faith grow in you. Say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you can save me. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you can fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you can use me, Lord. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you will be with me. No matter what happens, no matter who I stand in front of, no matter where I am. Jesus went to places where you and I could not go. That is why He can come to you today and fill you with the Holy Spirit and tell you, come with me, and we will go, and we will fish men, and we will be the ones who will do the work that is to be done to save souls. He says, come with me. That's what He told Peter. Come, Peter. Come today. And that call is not just for Peter, but it's for all of us. In Hebrews chapter 9 and in 1 John chapter 2, we learn that this sacrifice is so unique that God accepts only His. There is no other sacrifice that could be accepted. No sacrifice of sheaves of wheat or barley. No sacrifices of animals or bread. Those are temporary. Temporary. But Christ did the work that has everlasting effect, everlasting duration. There is no expiration on the work of Christ. And this is why we celebrate Pentecost. This is why we celebrate God coming on earth in the form of His Son, in flesh and blood, and yet also Spirit, who came for you and I. Christ gave Himself up for the world and now is with the Father sending the Holy Spirit. This is the gift of the new covenant. That this gift, that the covenant will be written on the heart, not on tablets or stone, not on a piece of paper where we can sign with ink that might fade. No way. It is written with the blood of Christ. That is what is the seal of those who God saves. And nothing, no fire, no light can make this ink disappear because it is the blood that Christ shed for you and I. This is the gift of the new covenant, that Christ paid the sacrifice after being sent by the Father. He went back to the Father. And now today, He sends the Holy Spirit. Take it. Take it. It is a free gift. Let Jesus be your ruler and be saved from this perverse generation. In chapter 2 of verse 40, that is what Peter tells the people. Be saved from this perverse generation. Give Him your heart and your mind. And speak His word. Let us wave to God our mind. Let us wave to God our heart. Let us open up and allow Him to enter into the most hidden chambers, in the secret compartments that only you or I know where they are and how to unlock them. Let God in there and let Him change you. Do not try to change yourself. That is why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. Not so that we try to change ourselves, but so that He would change us from the inside out. Because of God's Spirit at Pentecost, we can bring not imperfect flower, not imperfect sacrifices, but we can bring new flower so that God can do his work and accept this offering from us to him because of all that he has done for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand? The musicians are going to come up. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You know, I have planned to sing to you a song in Italian, but I'm only going to read you a couple of lines. And come on up. The words of this song say, while they're getting ready, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down on the faithful ones with fullness and the virtues of heaven. From God, they began to announce his love. And they went to the world, not to be of the world, but to be in the world, to preach the truth that changes the heart. And thousands accepted the gospel, proved this Christ changed their pain into joy. Praise the Lord. Pentecost, a festival of joy. Be joyful and accept the gift, the free gift that God wants to give. Hallelujah. Go ahead. We're going to be praying for a few minutes. And if anyone wants to come forward, we'll pray together as a corporately. But if someone wants to come forward, they will pray specifically for you for any reason. But in particular, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to allow the Lord to take control over the inner chambers of your mind and your heart. Don't keep them separately. Don't give God your mind and keep your heart for yourself. Don't give your heart to God and keep your mind for yourself. Give him all, because it is then that you will know how great is his salvation. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.